folks, the stories you're about to hear may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants.
Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. Is Radio BAM? Fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM!
And now, here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
That's the best eco I got.
Here we are. I'm at Jimmy Pop's house.
Lawyers for bitch.
And I'm with Jesse Mahiras, a.k.a. my brother, and Jimmy Pop. And we're sitting in this soundproof room, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we got drunk at the Trap Tavern because we drove home from New York after a Roadrunner meeting, and Jess and I and Chad Ginsburg decided that we can't drive anymore because it's dangerous. So I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to go to Jimmy Pop's house because it's an hour closer from New York City than Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Dude,
so,
the worst was waiting in Holland Tunnel traffic.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to light myself on fire.
Jimbo, 7 o'clock, we waited 4 blocks.
To go 4 blocks to...
At 8:30, we got into the motherfucking Holland Tunnel. Like, yeah. Like 1.5 hours?
So you got in the line at 7.
Yeah. Dude, it was 4 blocks. 4 lousy blocks. And we literally looked at a green light, didn't move, and then it was a red light. And then it was a green light.
Twice.
And then it was a red light again. And then it was a green light, and then it was a red light. And, like, we didn't move a fucking foot. And I'm like, dude, there's a reason why the fucking Twin Towers got hit, because there's 1,000 less cars now on this stupid Holland Tunnel.
And it doesn't help anyway. The weird thing about, like, the Holland Tunnel and the Lincoln Tunnel is every time I'm in them, all I want, I have this urge to, like, lick the tiles. I do.
You would have AIDS and rust.
I know. I'm so into it. Just, like, because they're so, like, they look the same way, like, when Saturday Night Live aired. They're just, like, all gray and 70s. I just want to lick them.
Dude, and Phil would torture us when we were kids. This is how Phil was. He'd say when we were little, like, when we were going through a tunnel like that, kids, if one of those tiles breaks, water's gonna
jerk you off.
Like, just
like, why
just
are you scaring the
water
shit out of
one
like
inch
that
away from the tiles? Like, Phil, oh, shit.
Right. The only thing stopping it.
There's like 10 foot of cement in that shit. Like, there is no way that water's gonna go into that.
Phil used to fuck with us. So
I know.
Bad. We'd be driving.
He used to love when he would like make us scared of ghosts and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
He was kind of
fucked up in a way.
He would go out of his way. Like, he'd take the long way home just because there was a spooky woods, like, and he'd scare the hell out of us, saying there was, like, seances and, like, weird...
Yo!
What was your first memory of him jerking you off or something?
I remember. We didn't feel like vacuuming and shit and cleaning the lamps because there was, like, cobwebs on it and shit. And he wanted to make Mom happy because... she was working all hard at the hair salon, trying to make a quick buck to pay, because we were, like, broke as a goddamn joke, dude. I mean, we live across the street from a shit factory for 21 years, and we didn't even pay for the house. Like, we were still making payments on it for ages. And Phil would, I was, like, 5, and he would be like, I'm the new dad, and you were like turning like a monster. It's,
yeah,
like, it's the new dad, like, you better vacuum, or the old dad will come back.
You know, it's like, vacuum. I want old dad back.
You know, like, well, the new dad's here now, like, and it was, I thought it was so real.
Phil fucked with us pretty good,
it was kind of really muffed up, if you think about it.
You got it back, I
think. Phil rolls, though, but yeah, that was fucked.
That's great.
Sam's still afraid of the dark.
Not, well, if I'm by myself.
If you're by yourself, if you're sleeping in your house alone, then you're scared.
Why do you think I have fucking... Jimbo just turned the lights out. Plus, I have glasses on, so it's extra dark.
Yeah.
But no, like, I have, like, 9 strangers living at my house. I don't even know half of their names. They're just skaters from FDR who are living at the house building a ramp. And, I'm so used to having people around me at all times that when I'm by myself, I don't know what to do.
No, the weirdest thing is when I would come over for, like, Viva La Bam and stuff, and there'd be 30 people there, and you're not there. And I would just be like, how do you put up with that? Like, you would go hide in your room because you were so fed up with filming.
Yeah.
And, you know, there'd be, like, Seth would be downstairs, like, building, a gigantic... I'm like, what are you doing?
He's
like, it's a basketball that shoots out monkeys. And just, like, 30 people hanging out. It's weird.
The best thing about Bam's house is, like, we were recording at the Hobbit Hole a little bit ago, and there was just some dude passed out in the corner. Like, no one knew if he was alive or dead, but no one even questioned it, because it's Bam's house. Like, whatever.
Neil Fallon's there from Clutch. Fireball Jim's there. Jazz is on the drums. They're jamming out and recording in the Hobbit Hole, and there's just some hobo in the corner.
He was like a homeless dude.
Just passed out. And nobody
said a word.
Tapped him awake to see if he didn't want to hear the noise. Or
no one even said, who's that dude over there? Like, there was just no question. Like, it was just like, oh,
See, Jack Flanagan is CKY's manager, and also clutching Guar. And
Ronnie Spector. We have to talk about
him. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Jack Flanagan said that Neil Fallon of Clutch was just like, dude, I went to Jess's house and it was day, and then I went to Bam's house and it was the complete opposite. It was like night is hell.
My house has like babies and Jess has
two babies with fucking it's baby Einstein playing on the television talking about like,
it's like the most mellow house ever.
This
my house.
Is a watermelon. This is a banana.
and Jess went bananas and watermelons.
And it's on the fucking television. And then Jess is like, yeah, we're gonna go over Bam's house because he has a recording studio. So he brings Neil Fallon over, and like, there's just hobos in the corner with beer bottles half-filled, tipped over, laying on the dude's face, you know, and there's bonfires going on, and there's people building a ramp, there's people on four-wheelers, there's people
everywhere.
Taking shits out in the woods, and he's just like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like,
and I'm used to it.
You don't ever get tired of that. That would drive me crazy.
Oh, I get tired of shit getting stolen. And you know what?
It's broken.
This cocksucker took the Hardigram emblem off of my Mercedes on video camera at my house. I have it on fucking film, and I see the motherfucker's face plain as day, but I don't know who he is or where he's from. You know?
Yeah. I would lay down the law.
If I saw you at Tattooed Moms in Philly, I'd be, you're that fuckface who took my emblem, you fucker. But, like, I don't know where he lives or where he's from, so, like, maybe 2 years will go by and he'll grow a beard and I won't recognize him anymore.
That's just like, I just don't know how you do that. Like, you know me, I like to sit around in my pajamas alone all day.
Yeah, that's why I like to come over. I come over to Jimmy's house and I just show up. He likes a phone call saying that you're going to show up so he could prepare himself to spend time. I'm like, fuck that, dude. If I feel like going over there, I'm going to go over there, and he's going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, the problem isn't that you're coming over. I don't get mad that you come over. It's that, well, I want to devote time to our friendship. You know, so that you don't come over and, you know, like I'm
coming to catch a predator.
But you know what, Jimbo? I had no plans on coming over here when I was driving home from New York. And then I was like, you know what? I don't feel like going home. I'm going to go to Roy Orshford.
Plus, Missy with the fake baby, you don't want to have to go home and deal with that.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'm going to film on a new episode. And I'm glad you said that. And hopefully I'll listen to this episode in like 2 weeks so I can re-remind myself.
The best thing is, like, we went to the trap. We were there for 30 seconds, and they're like, they brought like a whole wardrobe.
Yeah, I have a fleece.
Yeah, they brought like 50 pieces of clothing.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
And a sweatshirt.
Because, like you were saying, like when you needed stuff, no one ever wanted to give it to you.
It's true. And
as soon as, you know, living across from a shit factory, which was my wrestling name in the mid 80s.
Shit factory?
Yeah. I didn't win many matches.
That's the best game I ever.
You didn't win many matches.
But, you know, and then when you don't need stuff, people just give it to you.
All right, speaking of, we were talking about Jack Flanagan, and Bam mentioned he manages CKY, Clutch, and Guar, and he also manages Ronnie Spector, which is the... what is
Phil Spector's ex-wife, right?
Yeah,
Phil Spector's ex-wife. But what did she sing?
She has a bunch of, like,
it was like Ronnie and the Ronettes, right?
Yeah, like, but there's one song that...
60s and 70s.
No. What's the fucking song?
She didn't sing 17, did she?
Does Jared know?
Hey, little! Do you know what?
Ronnie Spector?
See, that's what I said. But then they sung the song, and I was like, oh, I knew that. I could sing you every lyric.
Well, little, type Ronnie Spector into Google and let us know her number one track.
All right, let's hear like a 10-second clip of Ronnie Spector right now. See? I told you. Everybody knows it.
See?
You know what I mean?
Well, all right.
Anyway,
Spector,
he's a nut job.
A, he killed somebody. The chick from Amazon Women on the Moon, which is like my favorite movie of all time, by the way. But the best is when he got his divorce, he was ordered to pay $1 million to his ex-wife.
Dude, I think that Phil Spector's nuts, and he looks like a whack job.
He's like my new hero for this.
The judge was like, you are ordered to pay your ex-wife $1 million, and you need to pay it now.
So he got a dump truck.
He got a dump truck and filled it with $1 million worth of nickels and dumped them into the driveway. That is fucking gorgeous.
Dude, that's brilliant.
That is fucking great.
Dude. He's my new hero, and I looked at him in the tabloids. I was like, what a creep.
He's my hero. But
now I heard that, I'm like, dude, I'm going to get a tattoo of his ass.
Not only is he a great record producer, but he also does cool things like that.
Killing the girl from Amazon Women. Too, yeah, that's hot.
No, dude, you know what? I don't like that because that girl's hot.
I don't remember her. But, you know, we were talking earlier about the, speaking of people that killed other people.
Yeah.
Where you were supposed to have your wedding.
Oh, that, the DuPont.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
That guy's crazy.
Well, no. Yeah. The DuPonts go, whoa. We just realized that you're filming your wedding on MTV, and you're Bam Margera from Jackass.
And your family
They're like, we don't know if we crazy. Can make these two worlds collide. I mean, we're the DuPonts. Yeah. We're all posh and shit. Like, dude. You're the DuPonts. You guys are crazy.
Dude, the Margeras are crazy. I'll be the first to admit it, but... Fucking hell, the DuPonts?
They're nuts.
There's a lady that wears a trash bag because she doesn't believe in clothes. And she just walks around Centerville, Delaware, and they just know her as the trash bag lady.
And the guy that killed the guy was the black.
He hated the color black, and his gay tennis player buddy.
No, wrestling.
Wrestling buddy liked another lover, so he killed him.
Not Shit Factory, some other wrestler.
Yeah. All right, well, it got to the point where he...
Shit Factory. Is that for real?
No. Okay. I'm just talking nonsense.
Well, this story is so fucked up. Rake mentioned on a couple episodes before that there was a DuPont that used to hunt with an AK-47 from a helicopter.
That's amazing.
He would just annihilate a herd of deer and then fly away. And then now there's the other guy a couple years ago killed his gay lover, which he was the partner in this wrestling team that he funded. And basically, because he had DuPont money behind him, the wrestling team made it to the Olympics. And this guy hated the color black for some reason. Like, he eliminated any black things in his house, all his black clothes, wanted to dodge black.
That's like impossible. Look at this very television. It's black.
Well, dude,
what are we gonna do?
Got rid of it. His house had nothing.
Spray
black
painted silver for fuck's sake.
Well, it got so bad that only two black wrestlers.
Look at this
got
sweet fender amp.
And the guy's like, you can't fucking fire them because they're.
I know. What amp is that?
Oh, that's a good ass fender.
It's actually
look. It's a black amp. What are you gonna do? Spray paint it orange?
An orange amp. Dude.
You know what I mean? Like, is that what he did? He just. Didn't like black so bad?
He didn't want to see the color black.
You know what? If I was a DuPont and I owned 50% of the state of Delaware, I would start doing shit like that too. I'd be like, yo, dude, put me up in a fucking helicopter. I have this AK-47. I'm going to annihilate every moose and deer I see. Yeah. You know, like, I would do that too.
Yeah. Speaking of,
sounds like fun to be honest.
Killer homos from Pennsylvania. Doesn't he have to go to No Hope today to record riffs?
Yeah, you have to do drum checks today, dude. You better do it, Jesse.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm drinking coffee and everything.
And everything.
See if the mic picks us up.
Yeah.
Let me try one.
Oh, dude, we're in a confined space.
Yeah,
we're going down, dude.
Yo, Jimmy made this fucking song. I left a message on his machine because we got so drunk at the Trap Tavern. I called him to make sure he was still alive. And then Scooter, this guy who you probably don't know, but he's huge in Germany so badly that he plays these like techno songs, and Jimmy's friends with him, so he made this song with my message on it. And it's so basically it's Bloodhound Gang meets me meets Scooter, and the song is called "Hook Me Up with the Shit That Killed Elvis."
Oh, yo, Radio Bam!
Let's hear that shit.
Faction.
Fuck yeah.
Next message.
It is Bam. Call me and tell me if you're fucking alive.
Just left the building. Please try again.
We're going hot right now.
Oh, oh. Stop. Run for your life.
Look what we found in Don Vito's ass.
This is Radio Bam, baby.
On Faction 28.
That was Scooter and the Bloodhound Gang with a message from me.
And I can still smell your farts.
Hold on.
That was Jimmy Pop.
No, it was the combined.
We're at Jimmy Pop's house right now, and he has a studio just like me, so I was like, dude, fuck it. Let's just do a show here.
I hate to break it to you, but Jimmy's
going to Berlin.
Rig is better than your rig.
Well, it's because he sells fucking 4 million goddamn copies, and he can afford a goddamn
Jimmy
sound
Pop.
System.
Are you related to Iggy Pop at all?
Iggy?
Yeah.
No, I did a tour with Iggy,
though.
He played my wedding. Why didn't you? You
I sat with him.
You sat with him at the table, and you didn't even say your last name was Pop as well.
I want nothing to do with Iggy Pop.
How dare you?
I was on a tour with him for a month. He didn't say hello to me.
That's fucked.
He got mad at us because we had a better bus. The next day he showed up with a Prevo instead of an Eagle.
What's a Prevo?
A Prevo's a nice one, and Eagle's what, like...
Eagles suck dick.
Eagle's what, like...
Eagle's like a Pinto
Cheap Trick are driving right now somewhere in Japan. And,
dude, it's like the Hyundai of buses.
But, I mean, you don't meet a lot of jerk-offs when you tour. Like, most people are pretty cool.
Pretty
this guy didn't talk to us, Reverend Horton Heat.
Oh, you tour
I love them.
I love that fucking
He
man.
Wouldn't talk to them. He wouldn't talk to Henry Rollins.
You know, it really is rude. Yeah, I mean, CKY did the same thing with All American Rejects.
Like, I fucking hate them.
Fuck them. No, I like that one song.
Can I tell you a story
No, but like, dude... Like, you guys busted on All American Rejects, but here they are on MTV.
Yeah, I move along like you told me to.
You know what? They still are around, and that's... I called every band we toured with, like Puddle of Mud, I was like, gone in a year. You know? And, like, they all did, except All American Rejects are still around somehow. Like,
were they, were they jerk-offs, or...?
Well, this is my favorite thing. We're playing...
I like it when you smack my ass. Hold on. Wait a
it's
minute.
Like, dude,
I'm on
you
the
know
mic.
What? Shut the fuck up, dude.
I like it when you smack my ass. Shut the fuck up.
No, let me tell you this about All American Rejects. We were playing New Orleans House of Blues like a few years ago, and they were opening. They were still kind of new at the time. But this fucking kid, they were like 18 or something, and this guy's talking to our fans like they're his. Like, he's like...
Thanks, guys, man. Thanks for coming out,
bro. Yeah, thanks for coming out to see us and like blah, blah. And he's like... I wrote this song when I was kind of depressed and broke up with my girlfriend. And, like, it was all sentimental. And the best thing I ever heard, one of our fans yells, fuck you, faggot! Like, it's all sentimental and he's, like, all heartfelt about it. And some dude's just like, eat shit, pussy! Fuck you, faggot! Dude, you know what?
Is that the story, though? Is that why you hated him?
No, I mean, they were just... fucking gay, and I was like, I hate you. And then they stole
they
stole some of our beer, and then that was the last straw, and Chad's like, if you come to the show in Pittsburgh, I'm gonna break all your fingers.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what, dude?
That's weird. Chad gave me a greeting card that said that at your wedding.
Really? That's how he rolls. No, not anymore, though.
I officially love Chad. I like him so much that I wanted him to be in the wedding party. Like, I wanted him to walk down the aisle because he changed his ways so bad, and I figured out why. It's because he bought a house.
Yes.
He lived in gutters. He lived at Pizza Hut.
He lived in a van. In a chicken coop.
Gigi Allen's graveyard.
And he was just bitter and everything. He's like, fuck this shit, fuck that shit, fuck everything. And he would be miserable, and it's like, I don't need to be around negative shit. You know, like, I don't need to deal with this shit.
Right.
It was like a loose cannon.
Such a loose cannon that, like...
If everything was going smooth, he just caused a problem, kind of, you know?
Just because.
Like, yeah, just because he felt...
Oh, really?
But now I figured out that...
He pulled a 180 now.
He has a nice-ass house, and he feels comfortable, and...
He finally has a place to call his
he
own.
He feels like when you're paying rent, like, you know you're going down at one point.
And you're
going
to have to move soon.
He has a house now. And he's like, I don't really have to worry now, and now he's like nice, and I even Missy, well, they're both Jews, so they get along so well, but she's like, let's go visit Chad.
You don't get along with him because of that.
Yeah, yeah, but like, dude, yeah, but if you tell Chad like fuck Jews, dude, like. He'll be like, fuck you, motherfucking
pussy.
Well,
who would be psyched to hear that?
I can say that to Missy, though, and
but
she'll laugh
say,
it off.
If someone was like,
I'm Italian,
dude,
I'm Italian
like,
and I'm Irish.
Care.
I'm Italian and Irish. If you go, fuck Italians, you're fucking stinky faggots, like, and fucking Irish people are fucking redheaded homos, I'd be like, well, I'm Irish and Italian, and I don't care what you just said, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm American.
Yeah, life's too short to get bent out of shape about
like,
crap like that.
Why would I care?
Understand.
See, I never saw, I didn't know Chad that well, not that he's dead.
I base people on personality. Like, if I didn't like you, Jimmy Pop, I was like, I was like, I fucking hate Jimmy Pop. He's a jerk off, and I don't like his personality. I wouldn't be like, what's his nationality?
German American.
Oh, he's German American. Well, fuck German Americans. They're fucking faggots. You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, it's not because he's German American. It's because I don't like his personality.
But it is just crazy how Chad pulled a 180. Like, I used to be the mellow guy.
I love it.
Why now he mellows me out?
Dude, it's cheers!
Like crazy.
Cheers to Chad. Awesome. It was the biggest 180 I've ever seen. Yeah. Like to the point where I noticed it.
It made the band so much better to be in now that he's.
You know when like you'll see somebody every single day, and then all of a sudden they'll have short hair and then long hair, but you don't notice at all,
right?
Because you see him every day,
right?
But like I noticed with Chad, like
because you were away from him for a while,
yeah. And then I just see him again, and it's just like, why the fuck are you being so cool?
Was he always that intense? Like even before like your first DVD came out or anything.
I liked him when he had that red hair when you guys were doing CKY1 in the studio. I liked him then. And I liked him when we were doing the Brands Freestyle that day. But then there's a whole period of maybe 2 years where I was just like, he's a fucking jerk-off dickhead, dude.
Well, you know what?
He needs to stop fucking analyzing shit so bad.
The latest record that we did, Answer Can Be Found, was like the most hellish process on earth, and everyone wanted to just kill themselves because it sucks so bad.
Right.
But then as soon as it was done and out and complete, then that's when he was like, happy dude. You know, like, moved back to the East Coast, bought a house. Records out, he's just sucked.
Dude, Dressed in Decay is the best song on that album, man.
I think that's one of the best.
The bass riff
songs
is the
ever.
Fucking best.
He always seemed really cool to me. So,
yeah, he's,
and how are his new riffs?
Chad and Darren?
You know what's funny? Just say that. Chad's been so cool to me all the time, see? Now somebody else would be like, that guy Chad has been a fucking dickhead to me all the time. Like, and you know, like, I mean, let's face it. I mean, he'll sip on whiskey, and then he'll pop, like, an Adderall, and then a Valium, and then this, and then that, and, like, you never know how he's going to wind up. He sorted himself out. Like, I figured out... I figured out the method of drinking, dude. Like, I used to drink, like, vodka and grapefruits and stuff, and then I would, like, start drinking Jack and Cokes.
Fuck all that.
And then shots of Crown Royal,
sip
like...
Sip on beer.
Dude, if I just shut the fuck up and drink beer all day as soon as I wake up, I'm never obnoxious. I'm talking shit right now, but I never
But you're not out of control.
I'm not out of control. I won't go flipping this amplifier over, like, for no reason. Like, when I was on whiskey, I would piss on the Iron Hill window with my dick hanging
out.
Yeah,
that's when you were out of control, and I had a little intervention with Happy Tom from Turbo Negro.
Yeah, Happy Tom.
And Villa Vallo.
Villa Vallo.
Villa's the biggest fucking drunk known to man.
That's another thing.
He said your brother's out of control. Jess, you have to get on the phone with him, and me, you, and Happy Tom will just have a conference call with him and sort of.
Villa wakes up to a beer before he's even a fucking wake.
Yeah, but
he has one on standby taped to his head.
Lemmy
from Motorhead was doing an interview. Dead serious. And they're like, so Lemmy, like, you drink a lot of Jack Daniels and whiskey and whatnot. Like,
how do you deal with the hangovers?
He goes, hangovers? Well, you gotta be fucking sober to have a hangover.
he didn't miss a beat. He's just like, I'm always drunk.
Been drunk since day
the
one.
70s.
He never let one fucking living second go by without not being drunk.
But like 2004.
And that is gorgeous.
When Bam was raging the whole year.
Yeah.
I think that was probably like the period. Yeah. And like he was acting like, you know, a jerk to me or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't hold grudges.
What did I
want
to
know about
you?
These dudes. What dude that doesn't chug dick, like, holds a grudge that long? It's like, well, Ben was mean to me, and we should have an interview.
Everybody has a bad day.
That's the thing. Like, dude, I'm one to apologize. Like for instance, I had a big falling out with Chad. I was like, you're a fucking piece of shit. Like, CKY, what are you talking about? I'm CKY, motherfucker. I made CKY1. He's like, I'm CKY the band. I'm fucking better. I'm bigger. And, you know, I'm like, fuck you, fucking jerk off. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And then I flew to Australia the next day. Thought about it all on the airplane, and then I was like, you know what, I'm gonna call. And I called him from Australia, and I was like, Chad, sorry for saying all that stuff. Like, I was probably drinking whiskey, and I didn't mean half the shit that I said. And he goes, dude, I appreciate the apology. And you know what, that's something that Darren Miller would never do, dude. Like, if he killed your mom, You'd be like, you killed my mom. I want an apology, motherfucker. She shouldn't have been there. You know, like, he will never apologize, ever.
I believe that whole story you just told, except the part about your phone working in Australia.
I called from the hotel.
Dude, motherfucker, I couldn't get my shit to work there at all, dude. It was, like, stupid.
My phone works everywhere. I don't know.
How do you do it?
I get Little to do it.
Well, goddamn it, hire me, Little.
My phone doesn't work in fucking Canada.
Really?
Probably not.
Does Little have time to fucking do that shit for me, too? I'll have Phil write him a check.
Get some fucking chip or something?
We can get into that, but I want to hear more about the riffs, the CKY. Everybody's getting along now.
Fuck you, Jimmy. You're here. Talk about Bloodhound Gang.
I don't want to talk about Bloodhound Gang.
No, dude.
You're doing singles now. What's up with that? Because of iTunes?
Well, singles is where it's at right
it
now.
It is, kind of.
And that way you don't have to sit in the studio and hate each other for 6 months. You can record, record, tour.
I think every band should release, like, 4 singles a year.
No. The worst formula ever is writing, like, 4-track demos, whatever, getting the songs down, and then going into the studio and powering it out for 3 days to save money, and, like, everybody's hustling and playing songs all quick and trying to get the riffs done and mix it real quick and, like, save money, and then it turns out like a rushed piece of shit. I would say do 3 songs, wait 3 months, write 3 more awesome songs, write 3 more songs.
Dude, and the album format is becoming irrelevant almost.
Yeah.
Like, things are going backwards. Like, remember in the 50s and 60s, like, I wasn't alive, but they had singles. That's it. Nobody really had albums. That's how it's going to be again.
And we never did demos. You know, because we knew, oh, we can record this again, it's just going to sound shittier. And, like with him, how many of the demos sound better than the,
Jimmy, I'm not kidding. I listened to the motherfucking demos so much more, like...
Shadows.
Okay, no, Love Metal. The demos of Love Metal, which no one has ever heard, I'm telling you, man.
I've heard them. They are good.
Well, Jimmy's heard them.
Oh, that wasn't Jimmy. That was Mr. Europe.
But no, wonderful. Jimmy, it's like so much more raw, meaningful, and like Pete Doherty said it best. Like, I like the little fucked up mistakes when like my guitar player's all fucked up and he misses a quick little note. Yeah. And then it's off beat for a little bit, and then he comes back in. It makes it, better.
A perfect album is kind of boring.
A perfect Pro Tools, like, fix that little mistake.
Yeah. It's almost boring.
And you know what?
I like Led Zeppelin records because fucking Bonham would miss a snare hit every once in a while.
And you know what?
I like that. It gives it character.
I spent this whole day here from 11 in the morning until 3 o'clock, and I watched Little, who is Jimmy Pop's engineer who does the Pro Tools. He shows me how you could just put... If I singed off beat like... You could tune me in and make me sound awesome just like Paris Hilton, who put out a... Lindsay Lohan? Dude, I'm calling you out so fucking hard, dude, because Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton, they put out albums who other people write the fucking lyrics and then...
And the music.
And the music. They have no talent whatsoever.
They just
go in there, sing off key, and some douchebag puts them on fucking key just because they're pretty.
Enough about me. Tell me about Paris Hilton.
No, I'm serious, dude. Yo, and you know what? If I bump into them, I'll tell them right to their fucking face. Hey, I heard you were talking shit. You know what? I'm not talking shit. You officially can't sing.
Can I tell you my theory about demos, why some demos are better than the album? I think it's because when you go do a demo, you just throw the mics up and you just do it quick and easy. And sometimes when you just do that, it's better than when you overthink it and try and get it perfect.
Dude.
And then it's not as good because you overanalyze
it. People who overthink always fuck up so bad. You know what? Just shut up and do it right now and don't even think about it. Just like MTV, they're like, well, if you're walking into a bar, then we need to have a camera waiting for you on the inside coming in. It's like, that's not reality, dickface. Reality is me walking in with you following me from behind.
Like, when we were recording that last record, like, the first day of cutting drums, a whole day was spent tuning my drums. We got all scientific with it, with tension watches, drum doctors in there, and we worked our fucking dicks off to make the drums try and sound as good as it possibly can. And it sounded good. But then for shits and giggles, I was like, dude, I'm just going to set up my other kit in that other room and just see how it sounds. You know, why not? Fuck it. So I did 2 takes. One with the...
Just on spare time?
Yeah, like, we had some extra time, and I was like, I'm just going to recut the songs just for shits and giggles, and we'll just throw the mics up, and we spent an hour versus 24 hours.
Right.
And the hour shit turned out better. Like, yeah, there's no science to it.
It's always how it works. Dude, you know what? It's all about chemistry. It's all about, like, the mood that you're in. If you just, it, like, I hate it when the MTV overanalyzes everything and they're like, well, we need to think about how this is going to cut into the next shot. I'm like, you know what? If you just shut up and film, it's going to have to cut into the next shot because that's reality.
Yeah, and it's also, like, what you prep, like, what you do ahead of time. Like, you know how you draw your ideas out on paper?
Yeah.
Like, that's enough. Like, you don't have to, like, be like, well, you know.
And you know what? I bet you a writer who was hired for Warner Brothers would never get paid for drawing a fucking lousy picture like that on Jackass.
Right.
Like, they would be like, what? You're just drawing lousy one-minute pictures? Like, you can't get paid the money that you're getting for this. I want to have a major description. It's like, you don't need it. Just draw a stupid picture real quick. Now we're going to get the point.
And I also don't like how MTV just have a formula of all their shows. Like
Every show is the fucking same.
A script and a
formula. No wonder their fucking ratings are going down.
Because it's a job to them, and no one likes their job, really. And they just follow their same formula. And then when Bam comes to them with all these weird fucking ideas, they're like, what, dude, what?
And you think some fucking cum stain...
That's what makes it cool.
Some cum stain from Laguna Beach is... Like, do you think that they would ever...
Cum stain.
Do you think that they would ever be like, yo, you guys should play like Turbo Negro, and it's like, we're gonna play what the Warner Brothers sends us.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're gonna play the tracks that they send us. It's like, there's no heart in any of it.
TV people and music people, here's their formula.
They suck.
Oh, somebody goes out and does something different and interesting, and then immediately they're like,
let's
water
it down.
Find that. And then they just, there's like 100 copycat bands that just do that winning formula. And then it's just like, it just ruins it. It's like shit.
Like, I emailed, I drew a picture for season 2 of Bam's Unholy Union where I'm eating out Missy.
Nah.
And they just never responded. And I'm like, well, all right. Guess that won't happen again.
Did you really do that behind my back?
What?
What kind of friend are you?
I'm a good one. I give you Mickeys. How do you like the Mickeys?
Oh, dude, it's great.
Oh, man. He gives me a Mickeys and then he eats out Missy and expects me to be happy with this lousy beer? It's malt liquor for Pete's.
I might trade Yingling for that Mickey shit.
What am I, black from Pittsburgh?
Bam says my beer that I love tastes like rust and AIDS.
Dude, Yingling is an insult to Pennsylvania.
God, I love
it. And you know what? You know what? Fuck Yingling. It's an insult to Pennsylvania. Rolling Rock's pretty cool, and it's from Latrobe. But, dude, that Yingling shit tastes like rust and AIDS. It tastes like rust and fucking AIDS.
Let's play a song, because I want to get a beverage.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've been dying to do that, too.
All right, what do you want to play?
What do we have on standby that we want to
do? Helltrain.
Look, what we got?
Fucking Helltrain. Explain who they are and where they're from and how you signed them.
Yeah.
Enough about Mickey's. Let's play a song. Helltrain are from Sweden. They were in a band called, it doesn't matter, but they were like death metal.
Yeah.
And then they decided they just wanted to play like Misfits chords and scream over it.
And you know what? It fucking works, and it pisses me off that I bet you everybody listening right now has never heard of it.
But let's play it. Only on Radio Bam, Faction 28. We'll be right back.
man.
Say hello to everyone. Hello to everyone.
Can I talk?
Yeah, what's up, everyone? I didn't know you were recording this shit.
I had no clue.
It's on. It's on the radio channel now.
Nah.
Yeah.
You're fucking kidding me.
You can't say that.
I'm sorry.
Serious 28 fashion.
All right, that was Hell Train.
Hell Train from Sweden.
Route 666. Well, Jimmy Frank's recording company.
How did you find that band?
Yeah, they live in the Arctic Circle. How did you make that trip?
You know how, except for you, and sometimes when you bring Jess, I don't hang out with anybody. I just sit online looking for...
Dude, you spend fucking 80% of your life in jammies.
I'm Lou Hefner, his ugly cousin.
See, dude, but no, I can relate to that, because when you're in a touring band, when you tour, that's fucking work. I mean, it's fun as shit, but it's work.
Yeah.
And when you come home, basically your vacation.
And also, I take, you know, at the end of a tour, I'll stay somewhere. So, yeah. You know, in Berlin or wherever we are, and I'll hang out. So I enjoy coming home and not doing shit. Because,
right. Let's
be honest, who wants to, like, when you've been on the Snorkin Glime in Copenhagen, like, do you really want to go to the Trap Tavern every night?
Yeah, right.
You know? Well, I know you do. But I wanted to ask
you. Dude, I've been on a fucking bender, man.
I'm into it.
I just like waking up and having people all over the place. There's always something to do.
I think I
get scared when I'm by myself.
You'd be terrified if you woke up in your house alone. Like, what do I do right now?
You know what? You know what, though, I must say? The only time that I'm officially alone is when I'm on, like, an airplane.
Shit.
No, well, not well, that, but that, I'm not going to write shit when I'm taking a shit.
I've been in there.
When are you alone?
I'm alone when I'm on an airplane for 5 hours, flying from L.A. to Philadelphia, which is mostly where I fly to. I fly other places, too, but that's the only official time where it's just me. And I'm so fucking productive when I'm sitting there, because I'm just forced to sit there like a dipshit, sip on a red wine, a.k.a. creative juice, and then I come up with, like, jackass ideas. I come up with Bam's Unholy Union ideas. I come up with Viva La Bam ideas. I come up with fucking new movie ideas. I come up with fucking maybe redoing Arthur.
And you can't do that when there's people around, is what you're saying.
Because there's no time for me to think about that. I'm having too much fun with you right now to even think about redoing Arthur.
So wouldn't it be better than if all those people weren't there?
No. Dude, I would never change anything about my life at all. Like, I've done my fair share of cool skateboard tricks. I've done my fair share of drinking. I've done my fair share of filming. I've done my fair share of photo shoots. Like, you know...
Well, I think if I was
life,
you...
Life is too short to spend your entire life lip-sliding fucking handrails.
The only thing that...
you know what I mean?
I would change about your life is get rid of that mean-spirited, tramp-stamping ex-girlfriend. Because she was always mean.
I know.
Sometimes she was really mean.
I know.
Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. And you know what? I was scared of breaking up with her. And the Jessica Simpson thing happened for a reason, because...
Bam, I threw a party when you broke up with Jim.
Like, well,
a rager. Like,
dude, you know what?
He's free.
That got blown way out of proportion, but all in all, it was meant to be, because that was the official reason for Jen to break all my shit and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why I didn't break up with her, because I was like, dude, if I say get out of here, I don't want to be with you anymore, she's going to destroy all my stuff.
Yeah.
And I like all my stuff. You know, but once she did it already and it was too late, it's like, well, that is the key to get, this is done now.
You just gave yourself.
I knew once that Jessica Simpson tabloid shit came out, I was like, this relationship is officially over.
Yeah.
Before, we'd get back together, we'd argue, we'd make compromises and get back together. That made it officially fucking done.
Yeah.
Like,
what a good way to make it done, too.
We will never be together again, you know?
The final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, like, when I went into a relationship, it ends with me, like, dropping loads in my own mouth. And he's like, he ends it with Jessica Simpson. So about Missy's pussy. Anyway.
What do I want to know?
I don't need to know anything, bro.
Why?
Why? So, all right, let me just because... You know, usually you have all the guys that are in your world all the time hanging out. So I want to know a few things. When can I expect Dream Cellar?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy, Calvin, who
He runs Bodog.com, and he lives in Costa Rica, and he's a motherfucking billionaire. I had dinner with him at Koi Restaurant in Los Angeles, and I basically had a few drinks with him, shot this shit, made him laugh, and he goes, you know what? I like you. What do you need? And I go, I have this movie. I want you to read the script. He's like, I don't even need to read the script. How much money do you want? I'm like, I need $5 million. And he goes, done. And then the next day, I was like, what a fucking full of shit piece of shit. You know, like, yeah, right. He ain't going to give me $5 million.
The money was in the account already.
The money is in the account right now as we speak. Cheers to him.
Yeah.
He didn't even read the script. He just had
talk shit.
He just had faith in me that I could make something good.
Yeah.
But you know what? Joe Franz wrote the script. Well, Novak wrote the story of his life.
Right.
Then Joe Franz transformed it into a script. Then these Hollywood dudes had a shot at it and totally made it like a Tony Hawk skateboard stuff. And I was like, dude, I don't even want Tony Hawk in it. Like, I want to mention his name maybe once, but I don't want it to be based on fucking Tony.
You're trying to make something that hasn't been made before. That's right. What people don't understand.
Yeah, like, I want to see Novak, like, hopped up as fuck in Baltimore being a piece of shit. Like, briefly tell people that he could have been a professional skateboarder, but he threw it all away. We don't need to show him, like, skating and, you know, like, fuck that, man.
So it's basically going to be a dark comedy.
That's exactly right. And you know what? Dark comedies are hard to do, but I have faith that it's going to work out.
Now, what about the other movie?
Kiss a Good Man's Ass.
Which is now called?
I can't say because I don't need anybody copyrighting it and shit.
Oh, can you talk about the cartoon?
Yeah. And that's, we just did a cartoon. It's a pilot. It's 13 minutes long. The animation is fabulous. And
Disney people are doing it.
Dude, I just love, you know what I love? I love that it's DiCamillo's thing.
Yeah.
It's his project. He loves it.
Yeah.
And basically, the only thing I need to do is spend, like, half of my Wednesday going into a fucking studio.
Right.
And going, like, yo, Dico, what the fuck's going on? Da-da-da-da. You know, and then, like, it's just me doing voiceovers, and then some dude in New York draws me up and makes a cartoon out of it. And it makes me look super productive, but really, so I only spent half of my Wednesday.
And to be honest, in a world full of people that don't know what they're doing, it was great being on a conference call with 10 people, the youngest of which was DiCamillo, and he was in charge telling me how to write the theme.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's so time for Dico to get
and what else?
Do. Like, I'm so fucking sick of going to your shoots of, like, Viva La Bam and stuff, and, like, seeing Dico just give fucking gold all day. Like, I'm, like, pissing my pants.
MTV always wants to overshoot to be safe.
Right.
And being safe is fucking dangerous because then they have all this stuff. They're so concerned about the story that they're not concerned about the comedy.
Yeah.
The comedy is what you should show. Exactly. Fuck the story.
Like, right. Dude, I'll be there for a couple hours. Like,
Jimmy, they'll actually say, well, if we're going to film you at Jimmy's house doing this, how are we going to show that you made it back to, like, Westchester to your house? It's like, well, that's what the fuck happened in life. So you're going to have to make it work.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no, we need to do a pickup shot of you getting off of the Royersford exit. It's like, no.
But, dude,
we don't need that.
Yeah, when we track Narkill shit, he doesn't even hear the music or anything. He just goes, and if the song's 3 minutes, he's there for 3 minutes, and then he leaves.
By the way, any BAM listener out there, I will put together a Bloodhound Gang prize pack if you make your yearbook quote, Ghost Jamal is a mini machine.
Ghost Jamal is a mini machine. If you were there, you'd be rocking the scene. Now take off your drawers and fall in love and rip your ass from up above now. What? You double dance. What's to find the flag? Buried deep in the ass of a fag. Chocolate cake. Now, baby Ruth, don't hold back for Mother Goose. Yeah. Where's the fucking golden egg? Yeah.
What about a set off the fire alarm?
Pussy Mars.
Dude, Deco.
Anyway, his brilliance is good to see in the cartoon. It's finally coming out.
You know what? He's an official genius. And you know what? Eminem has $30 million or whatever. And he, I agree that he should have that because he's fucking brilliant. I barely even listen to rap, but you know what? He's the motherfucking man.
I'm not into rap much either, but
Deco is also the motherfucking man. But geniuses are fucked up in the head. And Deco doesn't care about flying to L.A. to sign a $20 million deal. I could be like, Deco, hop on a flight, sign a $20 million deal, you'll be just like Eminem. He'd be like, I'd rather go to Kmart.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he officially is at Kmart when he's telling me this.
And he doesn't have any of that. He doesn't want any of that. He doesn't have any jealousy.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Two of his best friends, you know, are on Jackass and everything. He can't be bothered. It's just the most interesting thing.
He just needs to do what he has to do. And
you know what? I couldn't appreciate it more, really.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just a brilliant fucking person who wants to live his life in Pennsylvania without any fucking fanfare. He does not want anybody noticing him at all anywhere.
Yeah.
He wants to drive his fucking... I don't even want to tell you what he drives because I don't want people trying to go to Westchester and looking for him because he doesn't want it.
The best is, like, when we're setting up a record, like, a little bit ago, like, of course the record label's just like, oh, we got to do a commercial, and it's, like, the most boring, typical commercial. Clips from the music video, it's, like, featuring the track.
All right.
Blah, blah. It's so fucking boring. So I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're getting fucking DiCamello to be a goddamn,
spokesperson?
Yeah, like, you know those cheesy infomercials?
Right.
Like, he's wearing this fucked wig, and he's just like, the new CKY album now. Like, you know? And, like, and it was so fucking funny. And we sent it to the label, and, like, they just didn't get it. Like, it's just
they're
dumb. But when it aired on TV, the kids were like, that's the fucking best thing I've ever seen. You know, like...
Dude, you know what? There's so many jokers working at places, particularly MTV. Like, they've said so much fucked shit that they'd be like, you know what? Like, there's probably 20 stupid motherfuckers hired at MTV to do absolutely nothing. They don't know what they're doing, so they just do stupid research, like, Pennsylvania.com. Oh, you have to wear a seatbelt in Pennsylvania? Oh, notice that Bam doesn't wear a seatbelt. Bam, when you're filming Bam's Unholy Union, you have to start wearing a seatbelt because the state of Pennsylvania says that you need to wear one. I filmed 44 motherfucking episodes of Viva La Bam driving around at full speed in a Lamborghini with no seatbelt, and I've never had anybody say anything, and now I need to wear one? Fuck yourself.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise in a movie has to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
And you know what? I've already done 44 episodes, and I'm going to argue this one. I pick and choose my arguments with MTV. I mean...
You're not going to win them all.
You can't deliver an episode. Even if the episode was perfect and there was no cuss words or whatever, there needs to be somebody hired to say, this needs to go and we need to do a pickup shot of this. Because otherwise they feel like their job is worthless. Because if they go, good to go, loved it. They spent 9 to 5 all day on a Wednesday saying, good to go, loved it.
Right.
They need to show the boss that, like, this needs to go, the seatbelts need to be worn, like... Then they go, look, boss, look at all the notes that I've made, when they're all fucking worthless.
But I can tell that you started yelling a lot more as opposed to just not caring, because, like, Bam's Unholy Union is better than season 5 of Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
Like, because there, I remember going down, and like I said, no one would show up on time or just not show up at all.
There was a formula, and the formula was Ryan Dunn, Rab himself, DiCamello, and Ray Keon all had to show up from 9 to 5. And I don't want that anymore. I want to be like, you know what? I want to wing it. Today is Friday. We're filming. I feel like hanging out with DiCamello today. I'm going to call him up and see if he wants to film. You know, like...
Absolutely.
And if he's busy being at Kmart, then I'll fucking call up Dunn. Or I'll call up Jimmy and I'll be like, hey, want to film today? Or I'll call up fucking Novak. Like...
Hence the term reality show.
Yeah. Right. You know what? People showing up from 9 to 5 is not reality.
Yeah.
Reality is me calling people up and saying, you want to hang out?
When I'm at your house and they're filming us and I say something, they're like, dude, do what you just did again. No.
And you can't tell them, like, they can't go back.
I know.
Like, you can tell them how many copies of CKY you guys sold. That was you and Deco and Jess with the camera off the cuff.
It was
like, fun. Don't you understand that this works?
No shit.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But MTV has probably never seen any CKY videos at all.
They probably
just go, oh, Bam's a skateboarder who does funny Jackass stuff, who sold a bunch on Jackass. Yeah, let's have him do his own show.
They don't know shit about
that. They have never popped in CKY2K at all, I bet.
Which is brilliant.
$1,000. You know what I mean? Even the producers, oh man, this drove me insane. The first episode of Viva La Bam, which was the skate park driveway when Ape and Phil went to Atlantic City.
Right.
DiCamello and Raekyon were dressed as limo drivers to take Ape and Phil to Atlantic City. And the fucking stupid English bitch who was hired to be the director was like, DiCamello had their luggage going up an escalator at the Taj Mahal. And she's like, wow, we don't need some random limo driver bringing their luggage in. It's like, random limo driver? It's fucking DiCamello from the... He's in the show! He's not some hired limo driver, you fucking idiot! Do your motherfucking research first!
Fucking fired.
You know what I mean?
Did she get fired?
Oh, I fired the fucking shit out of her.
Really? Like, how many episodes did you do? Just that one?
One! I was like, dude, as soon as Deco said, I'm in Atlantic City because I wasn't there, I was at home building the ramp. Well, I wasn't building the ramp, I was watching people build the ramp, but
yeah.
I was carrying Abe's luggage, and they go, we don't need a random limo driver bringing the luggage. And I go, random? What are you talking about? He's like, she thinks that I'm a limo driver hired from a company from Philadelphia. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I called up my manager, Terry. I was like, fire that English bitch so bad. Like,
Do your fucking research. You don't even know the people on the show you're working on?
That's weird.
Fucking out of it.
Well,
are you,
think
bitch?
About it. She probably just did Yo Mama on MTV and fucking Room Raiders and hiring these 16-year-old fucking kids to say, like, they probably tell them what to say on that shit.
Right.
Yeah. Dude, there's so many worthless MTV shows. I'm trying to make it a comeback because. Because what they have on television is fucking crap.
I've watched some fucking MTV shows. I don't know the names of them, like Laguna Beach or one of them.
It sucks.
It's so fucking gay that I could feel my dick turning into a pussy.
Yeah, but you know what? You gotta appreciate that you know that there's 12-year-olds out there that love that shit.
I guess.
You know?
Dude.
And you know what? I barely talked to Pharrell Williams, but like he had a brilliant, brilliant quote, and he goes, if you can't appreciate a millionaire for what he's done, then you'll never become a millionaire.
That's true.
And it is true. And you know what? I appreciate NSYNC. I could see why they sell records, because there's a lot of 12-year-olds out there that think Justin Timberlake was handsome.
A lot of babies.
You know what I mean?
Dude,
but like, some dude is like, NSYNC sucks, the riffs are fucking crap, and they're garbage, and they don't deserve anything. It's
for
just
11-year-old.
Like, you know what? Your attitude, you will never become a millionaire.
That's true, because then also they tend not to go against the grain. You know, like, the guys that make a name for themselves aren't doing something somebody already did.
You know what's rad? The guy who invented that little thing that ties bread up, that little string, he's a millionaire for that.
And the combos guy.
Yeah.
The guy that invented combos, like putting the cheese inside the pretzel thing.
Yeah, like all those.
It's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
Like, whoever designed that little diagram that puts batteries in that shows you how to do it, that dude's a millionaire for that.
So, when's the new CKY record?
We're going to start. I'm actually cutting drums tonight at Chad.
Yes!
Yeah.
With Roadrunner. But is it a demo or the real thing?
I believe it's going to be a demo, but, I mean, once we get that down, then I have a good idea of what I'm doing, and then I'll cut real drums, you know?
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, the riffs that I heard so far are fucking amazing, so...
Yeah, I heard them
all. I was kind of terrified that CKY was going to go in a more metal direction, because that's, like, Darren's influences and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Dude, it's a blessing in disguise that Darren did World Under Blood, because he had to get that death metal out of his system.
Exactly, and I love it, dude. I like his side project a lot. I think it's great.
And I like it, too.
Yeah, he did his metal and because you know he'd probably try and take that shit into CKY stuff. Like,
yeah, I know, but there's
many metal bands out right now.
Dude, like, I must say, I mean, it's hard to play. It's brilliant. I appreciate death metal. I love it. I listen to it.
Yeah.
But Missy's sister, Missy's friends, Missy's mom, Missy's anything.
If you want your shows to be,
they will never understand ever in the entire world of.
Thank God that's not the case.
It's hard to play, but it doesn't sound good to, like, girls and, like, old ladies and old men.
Right.
Well, these new riffs I heard.
Maybe a kid who's confused at the age of 15 who's trying to figure out what his life's all about, he's probably like, I like death metal, you know? Like,
right.
They're the only kids that are going to buy it, and good luck trying to sell more than 8,000 copies, because you ain't going to do it, homeboy.
Well, I can say that these new CKY riffs are just classic, awesome CKY, like, just good.
Like Volume 1?
Yeah, like, it is kind of, like, more Volume 1-y type stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to be into it, then.
My favorite record.
Volume 1-y. Let's look up 1-y in the dictionary and see if that...
I think that's the best album we've done. 1-y.
So, all right, so we got the CKY, we got the cartoon,
yeah,
we got
check you
two
out,
movies.
Like,
well, I know you guys, I've listened to the show, so I know you never get into, like,
yeah,
you can't nail it down, and I'm always curious, like, what's Bam up to? Bam, who has an aunt named Booth, who, so I call Bam Boofy, but when I say that, no one knows who the hell I'm talking about.
Boofy. Well, the thing is that when I'm doing something, I'm so fucking busy doing it that, like, when I have 3 days to kill, like, I just got back from Dubai for my honeymoon, and
right next to Iraq, by the way.
Which
there's nothing wrong with it. It's great.
True, but yeah. But it was supposed to be like me being drunk and fucking all day.
Into it.
You got strip searched.
Yeah, I did.
Did you get your dick fouled up?
You know what? I didn't even give a fuck. I was like, you want to see my dick, dude? Go ahead. There's no weed tape to it. I don't even like weed.
Oh my
God. That rattled the house.
Dude. There's good acoustics in here, man.
It is. That's a good sound room.
Play me Blood Onion.
Finally, something that was in
tune. Play me Blood Onion. I know. Tune out to Paris Hilton. Fucking tune her to her Pro Tools ass voice. You know damn well, dude, that she did not sing that shit properly.
Dude, it was probably like computer science trying to get her fucking voice
probably,
to sound good.
Probably. Definitely.
Like just a team of
they
dudes
tuned
fucking
her voice. Dude, fucking Jimmy Pop's engineer, Jared Little, just proved to me so bad that I just sung completely off key and then showed me how on key it was by tuning it in on Pro Tools. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton
and
cannot sing, and Jimmy Pop cannot sing at all. And they just got tuned right into Pro Tools and now they look like the man.
All right,
Jimmy, dude, you should just drink a bottle of whiskey.
No, because I've seen you live, dude, and you're on key.
We should just record a metal song, and you just drink a bottle of whiskey and sing, like, fucking hell. Like, you get that growly shit when you drink whiskey.
I'd be into it, like, Vicodin Skull.
Yeah, dude.
Vicodin Skull.
Yeah, we'll just all take a bunch of Vicodin and do it up. All right.
No, what was that name you said? That's our band name. What is it?
The Ones with Gravy?
Yeah, the Ones with Gravy.
Is that what you
want to
go
gravy
with?
That's it, dude.
Cool.
Expect a single soon.
What's that?
The Ones with Gravy, that's me and Jimmy's new band that we're forming.
You're forming a band?
You want to play bass?
I was just fucking with you.
I'll play bass.
All right, done. Here's the Bloodhound Gang on Radio Band.
Let's hear it.
jihad. On blue balls evidently are almighty good God. So angel dust my soul like James Brown.
Yourselves in and lace up those shoes because you're listening to Radio Bam on Sirius 28 Faction.
That was Jimmy, and you're a piece of shit.
That's your Mark the Bagger?
You're a piece of shit.
Yo, Bam, yo, listen, I know you want me in your movie and everything, but you're gonna have to call my agent.
Sounds like the Bagger has an agent.
Yeah.
He's from fucking Runfile.
Do you remember that prank call by the Jerky Boys with that bitch that yells in the background, like, he's a piece of shit?
That's why I'm saying
is that what it is?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I was out of that
track. Oh, man. Dude, the Jerky Boys, they have some funny-ass quotes. Like, there's another one.
The only price I have is $1,400 for a Hatteras.
Fuck him!
Yeah, have you heard that shit?
Not that one, but yeah. Jerky Boys, absolutely.
You remember... I remember Kissel?
I need a dresser because I can't dress up. No, it's like a piece of furniture. No, my knees and ankles are bad. I need somebody to help me dress.
No.
We're going to die of fart cancer here.
I like the Kissel when he's like, I hired this Mexican kid. And he's just like, I've been sending him peanuts to his family. Yeah. And he's like, he's been stealing peanuts. And he,
you're a fucking liar.
Back in WW2, I used to be a seaman. Now I just put it all over my wife's ass.
You know what I loved, which I don't think got its... not enough people know about it, is all DeCamillo's calls from Volume 2,
TKOI. Yeah. Oh, my God.
When he calls the guy about the medications.
You know what? I don't even know if you could fucking find that shit, but, I mean, go on Google or something, type
Lime in... LimeWire, you can download.
What is it? Like, CKY just, Volume 2 or something?
Yeah.
It's like $80, though, because...
When that guy...
Well, it's worth the $80, because it's fucking... Me and Deco doing prank calls at the age of 16 when we were in high school, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, and when, because, like, the Jerky Boys would always do it so it made complete sense, like, even though the conversations were funny.
Yeah.
But, like, out of nowhere, Deco's having a conversation with this old guy, and he's like, la 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 la. I just died.
There's so much
smoke and crack out of the only the Elvira.
But dude, what sucks is I have all these tapes of Deco's prank calls, and there's so many good ones that I remember, but I can't find the tape. Like this one time, he called this funeral home, and he was fucking with the guy there, and he's just like, my wife needs to be moved to, you know, to your funeral home, and the guy's like, well, where is she now? And he's like, she's fucking dead. he meant where is her body?
Right.
Well, where is she now? Well, she's fucking dead. That kind of shit.
Fucking.
And then he calls this roommate. It's like a roommate ad that he responds to, and he's like, I have a cat, and I hope you guys don't mind cats. And the girl's like, well, what if we don't want a cat? And he's like, well, what if I don't want to live with you? You know? Like, that's just fucking Deco's humor, dude.
Yeah,
so
God damn it, dude. Deco is fucking so brilliant, and he's so under the radar, it's ridiculous.
It is.
He wants to be that way.
And, like, the pigeon scene that didn't make it into the Jackass movie?
That should have been in the fucking movie.
That was amazing.
That's the best part of Jackass 2, and you know what? Shame on Jeff Tremaine for not putting it in, because, you know what? People bite themselves in the ass so bad, yeah. Like, for instance, even Bam's Unholy Union, I'll have Chad come out, he'll show up, we'll film all this brilliant-ass shit, and then MTV will request to take it out for some certain reason, and you know, it's like, dude, you had Chad come out here, and then you're going to want a second season, and I'm going to say, hey, Chad, can you come out so we can film, because I want to film some shit, and he goes, well, I came all the way the fuck down there. Like, at least I got $500 or whatever, but, like, you know, it's a waste of my time because you didn't even put it in it.
Right.
You know, it's like,
absolutely.
They're kicking themselves in the ass. You know what, dude? I hope every MTV motherfucker downloads this shit and hears me, because I'm dead serious. I really am, man.
Yeah, dude. This is your venting time.
Right? I'm venting.
This show is your time to vent.
I love this show. I tell Penn Darvis from Sirius Radio all the time, I'm like, dude, Sirius Radio is therapy to me.
Yeah.
I listen to what I say. I hear if I sound drunk. I hear if I say like too much. I hear if I say too much.
Sometimes you say shit you shouldn't say on here.
Oh, yeah. I know. Big time.
Yeah.
And you know what, though? Sometimes it works out to my benefit. But besides that, I'll listen. And if I'm telling a story, I'm like, just, dude, I was, like, sitting there, and, like, this dude came up, and he was like, yo, dude. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I just said, like, 18 billion times. Like, I need to fucking calm down. You know, like.
I did an interview one time, and
do you like how I've forgotten that we're doing a radio show, and I was just listening? Like, I was listening to the radio show.
What do you mean?
I was just listening. I completely forgot that I was supposed to be in here with you. I was just listening.
I did this interview one time, and in print, I saw.
What did you eat?
Like. Did you fart again?
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
But I saw, like, I would say like a lot, and then in print, the guy would.
Oh, that's
print.
The worst.
I was like, you motherfucker, you make me sound like I'm a fucking.
Oh, when you say like?
Like, yeah,
but you know what?
It.
It's your problem. You
yeah,
said
I
like.
Know. I have to watch
you're
it.
The dipshit.
Yeah.
You can only blame yourself.
You can fucking take him out. It's print.
You can't take it out, because that's the quote. The right. Quote is like. You said like in the quote, and they're going to put it in there.
Why are you yelling at Jesse? He's got to go put effort
because,
in the drumming.
Because he's complaining that a magazine said, Jess said, I was like sitting there and like I said this. You're the one who said that. The only person that you need to blame is yourself.
Yeah, I know. Fuck it. I'm going to work on that.
All right.
What are we playing?
Oh, you know what? I want to hear... Who is it?
Isabella's Gift.
No. Them too, but I really want to hear... What were we listening to in the car? You just did a remix with somebody.
Hello, Goodbye.
Yes.
All right, you want to hear that?
Big time.
All right.
Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Are you sure it's ready?
Yeah, we can go.
Cheers.
I got it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, suppose you have to go search for the disc, and then we have fans sitting here for 2 minutes listening to dead air.
Little, you got it? We got it.
Well, let's fucking power it out, dude. We're out of here, and you all should be jealous, because I'm at Jimmy Pop's house, and we have a whole case of Mickey's.
But we don't anymore.
Can you edit that out, Little? Make me say Mickey's. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I don't want to say markers.
What were we just saying? Right before, go back to the Isabel's gift thing. That's where we'll cut it from.
Yeah.
All right, dudes.
No. Leave it off. Fuck it.
Well, that way we'll sound live.
We are live.
No, but I mean.
Yeah, I know.
What you just said didn't sound live.
But you know what? People probably want to listen to this shit. So you know what? Fuck it. Leave it.
All right.
Okay, good. So what are you saying?
Because they're already done listening to a show they thought was live.
No. Fuck that. Because I have to go to Germany on Monday, and my show comes on Monday. Therefore, I was like, I'm just going to get drunk on a random Saturday and come and see Jimmy Pop. And just come up to his house and blow up the scene.
All right. Hello, goodbye.
Hey, and you know what? It's a proper ending because we're saying goodbye.
Yeah, what's the song? All of Your Love. Remix.
And you, what did you do on this?
I did all the music, put his voice over new music.
Well, you're the fucking man.
Let's make out.
Mike.
Let's do it. Let's take a tubby.
Let's do it.
Let's go. Oil on Radio Bath.
We should have done this show from the tub.
Let's draw a bath.
Eastern 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody.
everybody. See you next week.
On Sirius 28 Faction.
Later.